Good morning. 8:23 a.m. on Friday, September the 18th, 2020. That's another smoky morning. It's not terrible. Smells a little bit like a campfire this morning. Not so much like a barbecue. Speaking of barbecues, I haven't used my pit in a year. I think you go to Lowe's, I think. The grocery store used to stock lump charcoal, and I bought a bunch of it there. But the last two times I've been, not only is there not lump charcoal, but the empty spots are gone, so they're probably going to go back to just selling briquettes. After using lump charcoal, briquettes just don't cut it. So yesterday was pretty much taken up with the cover Fandango. Took me all morning to get the cover set for South Coast for the paperback, and then all afternoon to get the cover for Cape Grace. To be fair, I think the cover for Cape Grace went better because I spent so much time on the morning. It went through their automated check, but let's see what happens when it gets to people. I hope I don't have to go back to and get a different cover. Get a cover with the proportions smaller. We'll see how it works. Read some more yesterday, a little bit in Peace Initiative, Glenn Stewart. Spend some time with SIFWA today. I've got a board meeting this afternoon. Is it this afternoon or is it this morning? I need to check that. It may be this morning. Forgot we changed the hours. I should be back in time. If it's this morning, it's going to be like 9 o'clock. If it's before 9 o'clock, tough. That would be good though. That would get all of the outside influences out of the way for the morning, for the day. If that truck sounds familiar, it should. It's the one that drove by at the beginning. It's kind of nice this morning. It's 50, 54, it's probably 56, maybe even 58 now. I'm a little overdressed with a windbreaker, but I'll cope. People seem to be liking Finwell Bay pretty much. Already got the first request for sequel. There's a big push for Sarah to come home, and I guess I get it. I'm not sure I do. It's like, what part of the story of I'm leaving all of this mess behind? The idea that she might go back to St. Cloud and give up her career, give up the life she's made for herself. And go back to that. I don't understand it. And I suspect that that's a reflection on me. I suspect that that's on me. I mean, I could go back to Maine now and still write science fiction in Maine. I'd have to find a place where I had broadband, which is not everywhere in Maine. If I went back to the old homestead, it would not be there. Last time I was there, they still had pretty much nothing. I don't think they even had cable in the old house. My sister's little place, her little farm, had wireless radio because she had line of sight to the tower that sat on the hill. But the old family homestead does not. There's a lot of being in Maine that I miss. Water, a lot of water. There's a lot that I don't miss. Freezing rain, snow, freezing rain. Did I mention freezing rain? Particularly along the coast. Snow isn't really the problem, it's freezing rain. And I couldn't afford to live on the coast. I mean, I make a living at writing, but I don't make enough of a living at writing to be able to spend the million plus it would take to buy anything that even has a view of the coast. I might be able to swing a condo in Portland, but those are pretty stiff. They're still in the mid six figure range, anywhere from 300 to 600,000 for a condo, for like a room with a view. Kind of funny, get ready, stay with me. Monk post. There are a lot of views that I wouldn't mind having that don't cost $1 million, don't cost $100,000. Oh yeah, smell that smoke, wow. If really all I want is a cabin in the woods, I can get a cabin in the woods here. I just go to Wyoming. Property is cheap up there. I don't know if they have Wi-Fi. A lot of the really nice places in the mountains are really expensive. So I wouldn't be able to move to Vail or Aspen or Snowmass or one of those places. It's a classic problem in that the cost of living is higher than the wages are paid. So you can't have a job and live in those towns. You have to live someplace else. If you work there, you have to live someplace else, because if you work there, you can't make enough to cover the rent. And I don't want to be in a place where I can't cover the rent. The beauty of the place I have now is that it's paid for. So as long as I can cover the taxes, life is good. Taxes aren't that bad. Keep the maintenance up. I gotta get a new roof on soon, probably. Get a new furnace probably this winter. But I've been saving my pennies. Shouldn't be a problem. So living where I'm living, the house is paid for. If I sold it, I could roll that money into something else. I'll have to get somebody who knows taxes to look at what it would mean for capital gains if I sold it and rolled it over into a new house. I'm over 65. I'm going to be over 70 in a short period of time here. I'll be 68 in 3 weeks. Would give me some money to put into a new place. I really don't want to move. I really don't want to move. And it's not because this place is so wonderful. It's that it's so convenient, and I'm so lazy, and I don't want to put my time and effort and energy and focus . into moving. I barely want to spend any time to just clear off my desk, which I need to do, which I need to do pretty badly. Oh, here comes a sports t-shirt guy. I haven't seen him in a long time. Morning. It's gonna get cold soon.
Yeah, it probably will. Yeah.
He's wearing a sports windbreaker this morning. Okay. I'll get an alarm for 10 minutes before the board meeting. So if it's at 9 o'clock, I want to make sure I get home before that, because I don't want to interrupt the recording and have to play with it. But the idea of Sarah moving home, the idea of me moving back to Maine, the idea of going back to an abusive environment, having spent a couple of decades becoming the person that you want to be rather than the person everybody thinks you should be. Why would you go back to that? Why would you do that? I don't understand that. I also don't understand horror. I do not understand the whole concept of horror. I read horror, well, I don't read horror. I used to try to read horror thinking, oh, well, this must be interesting. And it's not. I don't. It's not. I can't suspend my disbelief enough to let the story pull me forward. It's just, you know, it's like, don't go in the cellar. And when they go in the cellar, I throw the book away. It's like, no, this is dumb. This is dumb. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I know there are other horror stories other than it, but it's like, I just don't get it. It doesn't connect with me. I don't understand crime. I don't understand criminals. People whose goal is to work real hard, to work much harder than they would have to, in order to acquire wealth or goods or services or whatever. It's one of the reasons that a lot of people have trouble with the Golden Age of Soul and Clipper, because there's very little that's illegal. Yeah, murder, okay, fine. The airlock is there. But theft. Morning. The white-haired NPC that never acknowledges anything in his path. So, you know, why make a major investment to steal something when you can just buy it? Probably for less than it would cost you to steal it. In fact, in most cases, almost certainly. That's why Malachi Vagrant is a challenge for me. Malachi is a psychopath. Malachi has a different set of values. To me, he's almost cartoonish. like Burnside, it's cartoonish. Rossett was cartoonish. They all feel cartoonish to me. If not actually cardboard, but at least cartoonish. There's no nuance to them. There's deceit, but there's no nuance. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.